I want you to know that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ today, but it doesn't matter when, where, or how. He's not going back in the grave. He's alive and sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, making the intercession for you. Somebody give him praise in this house. Yes, amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So just before we get into the baptismal service, I have a message that God laid upon my heart. I'm going to title it, Don't Leave Jerusalem Yet. Don't leave Jerusalem yet. So just let me share with you for about 10 minutes, perhaps max. Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse number 1. If you would like to stand for the reading of God's word, I'm going to read 5 verses there as we look into it very closely. The former trustees have I made, Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. Somebody say taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chose, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Somebody said, don't leave Jerusalem yet. But wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. So as we look at this, try our best to picture in our minds what is happening in this passage of Scripture. Jesus is standing on the Mount of Olives, and those that went to Israel with us, it's hard to fathom. No matter how many pictures you take, here, it's hard to fathom when you're standing on the Mount of Olives looking across the valley there of the Kidron Valley into the Eastern Gate. It's just absolutely hard to fathom. But try your best in your mind. Jesus standing on the Mount of Olives about to ascend into heaven. This is after his resurrection, and for the last 40 days he has showed himself to his disciples that he was very much alive, from the nail prints into his hands and feet, to all the miracles he had performed in the lives of those who needed it the most. He is now surrounded by approximately 500 people. Jesus is about to speak his final words before he ascends. And he's going to reside at his Heavenly Father's right hand. As we all know, the last words from anyone is vitally important. The last words from anybody is vitally important. Been many a time, Sister Diane and I have stood by the bedside of those that are fixing to take their last breath, and their last words are vitally important. I'm here to tell you that dying men, dying women don't lie. Vitally important. Jesus was fixing to say his last words before he left, and he's vitally important. Even when each of us, when we leave for vacation, we usually give in detailed instructions of what we are to do or what they are to do that's going to take care of things while we're gone. Amen. Yeah? You with me? So what would you think Jesus was going to say to those that had gathered around him? Most probably none of us could have any comprehension of what Christ was going to tell those that was gathered around him. It was much different than what we would have expected any parting words would be to a loved one, friend, or family members. I think perhaps that we sometimes skim the surface of Christ's words, even his final words, just before he ascended into heaven. And I think so many times we even take Jesus for granted. Many times only follow him for his loaves and fishes that he can give. But these are the words of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, who has promised he would return. And he will return. Amen. And he's going to return. Amen. There ain't enough devils in or out of hell that can keep him from returning for his people. It is his words that we we should treat accordingly to who he is. We just sung about it. All of our songs that we sung about, with the highest regards and respect of who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for us. This is the Christ, the Son of the living God, which the Bible plainly proclaims that there is no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. If there is any place that you're going to, any destination with only one access, you need to pay attention. Hear me. The information to get there must be highly regarded. Any goal where there is only one path, one way to achieve, requires our utmost attention. Is anybody listening? So that we will not miss the mark. And in this case, I would say that the seriousness of what Christ is saying should be regarded as top priority above anything else in our life. Because let me assure you, according to the Word of God, and I believe with all my heart, Jesus Christ is the only way. He is the truth, and he is the life. And there is no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. He is the only way. Therefore, we must regard highly the words that he proclaims and says. John 16 and 7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away," Jesus speaking. "And if I go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send you him to you." In that original Greek, he said, "I will send you another Comforter." That is translated and simply means that I'm going to send you one like me. I'm not going to come back at this time, but one like me that's going to lead you, teach you, and guide you into all things. Aren't you glad for the sweet Holy Ghost? Amen. It is his farewell speech, Jesus' farewell speech, that he gave a command which he fully expected to be carried out. He has commissioned you. He has commissioned me. Just like he commissioned his disciples to fulfill and carry out what he has already started. Yes? You believe that?
Amen.
He has commissioned you. He told them that they were to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And that is with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. If you, someone says, "Well, you really don't have to speak in tongues to have the Holy Ghost." But if you can have it and not know it, can you lose it? Or if you can have it and not show it, can you lose it and not know it? He told them not to leave Jerusalem yet, but to tarry until they be endued. I'm going to use some words here that we need to grab a hold of. He told them that they were to tarry until they was endued, until they was saturated, until they was filled to the brim with the Holy Ghost. Saturated. We need to be saturated with the Holy Ghost. Saturated with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is real. It's powerful. Highly to be respected. There is only one sin that cannot be forgiven, and that's to have the Holy Ghost then reject it and say that it's not real. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
We need to be saturated. That's why I believe in baptism by immersion. You ain't baptized until you're saturated. Hello? The words of Jesus Christ were the same as a charge by a military commander who would give his subordinates, and they must meet those commands and heed them closely. When a commanding officer in the military gives an order, that order is to be immediately carried out without any questions. The Lord Jesus gave a command to his disciples that they were to be filled with the Spirit. because he knew that before they could plant churches, preach the gospel, teach the word of God, and fulfill God's plan here on earth, they must be endued with power from on high.
Amen.
I thank God for the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. By Christ issuing this command, he was expecting them to continue all that he had started. I said that already. He expected them to continue what he had already started. You see, this ain't over till we hear the trumpet sound. And we've got to reach the lost at any cost for Jesus Christ. You see, this Jesus, although very God, was also very man. Someone once said, I think I mentioned this the other day, someone once said that Jesus Christ is the only man that ever lived on the earth that was 200%. He was 100% God, and he was 100% man. Everything that Christ did here on the earth was not done as God, but as a man full of the Holy Ghost. And every miracle he performed, every message that he ever preached or taught was fully man. That's why Jesus spake as no other. If he expected us to do it, he performed that duty as a man here on earth. That's why he acted like no other. That's why he lived like no other. He was a man full of the Holy Ghost. He promised as he went away that he would send another comforter, meaning one like him, that would teach us all things, that would bring all things to our remembrance, and that we would be endued with power from on high. We are to be saturated with his Spirit. Mark chapter 16, beginning at verse 17, said, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues." Verse 18, "They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." I like laying hands on the sick, and they shall recover, a lot better than I do taking up serpents. But it's possible. It's possible. Just don't bring one in here. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I do go away, John 16, 7. And if I go away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. In conclusion, again, when Jesus told his disciples that he had to go away, and that he would send them another Comforter, the Comforter would be with them continually. He knew they needed guidance. How many knows you need guidance? To help further the gospel. It was Christ's command and his commission to his disciples to continue his work along with you and I until he returns again. And I don't believe that's going to be very long. Just as sure as Christ commanded his followers over 2,000 years ago to be filled with the Spirit, to heal the sick, to cast out devils, and to continue his work, it's just as real today as his command, his commission, is just as real for his followers in this hour that we're living in as it was for Peter, James, and John. But just as they needed that holy endowment, our infilling, we need more than ever before the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which Christ gave to each one that asks. It is his gift. It is his gift. So if you're here tonight and you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, don't seek the gift. Seek the giver of the gift. So that you might receive power. And go ye to fulfill the commission that Jesus gave each of us. Give us the strength and the power to live an overcoming life. For his glory and for his honor. Amen. Amen. Amen.